So please turn to page 1045, Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 22 to 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, when you will eat, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's briefly pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into hear from your word, as we go into listen, Father, please speak to us and change our lives and bring glory to your holy name. Amen. In this passage, as we read, Jesus said to his disciples. So Luke is recorded here, Jesus said to his disciples. So think about the time when Jesus with the disciples. What he is saying to them directly, "Therefore I tell you." What he is saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, and about your body, what you will wear. So why Jesus is saying that, there's a connecting word there. That's the word is therefore. So why Jesus is telling his disciples therefore? Because in that previous verses here, there's a story Jesus is telling about a rich man. You will see the rich man is called also rich fool. So why Jesus is saying therefore, so we need to look at a little bit up there. There was a rich man. So look at with me in verse 16. A certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. So he sowed and he had an abundant harvest. Then he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to sow my crops." Nothing wrong with that. In Sri Lanka, they sow seeds, especially in the paddy, acres of, rice. So they need to crop. If the good crop comes, then they need to store. Then what he said himself, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain." It's also good. When you have plenty, you can think about that, how I am going to store it. Listen what he said. I will say to myself, verse 19, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the problem. What he is saying to himself, look, I have plenty for my life. So I have bigger barns now. Don't worry, because I have plenty to eat and drink and be happy. That's why Jesus is saying, therefore I tell you, he is full. Look at verse 20. He said to him, you fool, because this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? That's why he's not wise. It is wise to do things to store up, but how you think your things for your life. That's why Jesus said here, the life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. So Jesus wanted to tell his disciples, look, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't store up for your life. Because the life is not about what you're going to eat, what you're going to clothe. Today, we're going to look at the Heavenly Father knows your need. The Heavenly Father knows your need. Look at with me what Jesus is saying in verse 24. He's asking us to consider two things. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. You know the ravens? Maybe it's not a common name, you know, it's like a bird. So what the ravens do, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. So God is telling how much you are valuable. You see, he doesn't feed that bird. It's flying around. And the birds, they don't save some food for them. They go and there. How much more valuable? Then again, he's asking us to consider. What's the second consider? The wild flowers. Some translation says lilies. Look at the wild flowers. They grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon in his splendor was never dressed like one of these. The wisest king, the Israel wisest man, he never dressed like this. But, you see, if that how God clothes the grass of the field, you see what happens to the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow is thrown away. You won't see the grass. How much more? You see, think about that second verse. He says, how much more will he clothe you? So God loves us, you see. The first point I would like to bring, trust God. Because he loves you. He loves us. He cares for us. How much more? Look at the birds and the wildflowers. How much more he's going to feed you and clothe you? And you see in that same chapter, Jesus saying that you are worth more than many sparrows. You see how he's caring about us? He numbered every hair. Yesterday, my wife cut my hair, you see. I'm sure my God knows how many cut down. He cares for us. God will supply our needs because he loves us. He cares for us. Jesus is not saying here that you shouldn't plan or work or you shouldn't go for shopping. Even yesterday, I went for shopping. That's my shopping day, Saturday. But what we are told here, that we shouldn't expect everything that we will have for our life. That's why he's saying, don't worry about your needs. Yes, our worries come naturally in our minds. That's why we are told in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Even if we are worrying about, Jesus is asking, what are you going to do about it? Look at with me, verses 25 and 26. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Other translations saying a single cubit. Single hour or single cubit. You know the measurement of cubit? It's like this much of length. It's about 45 centimeters. That's the cubit. Can I add this much more if I am worrying? No. Or add 1 hour from 24 hours to 25? No. So what Jesus is saying, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Because trust in God. He cares for you. He loves you. And notice that verse that he is saying, you of little faith. You of little faith. Because if we are trusting God, we won't be worrying. If we are worrying, we are not trusting God. That's why he's saying, you of little faith, trust me, because I am your God. I will provide you. This week, I went to my GP surgery. One of these posters was there. Can you read at the back? The poster saying, worried? You have an urgent medical concern, call 111. That's an information there. It is good. But as Christians, when we worried, what is our first thing we're going to do? Call 999 or 111. But what we are told from God's word, remain yourself. That Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. In every situation. I know I have called in the past 999, 111. But before I do that, have I closed my eyes? Lord, please help me. My daughter is sick. I have chest pain. Do I do that? You know that what you are doing. That's why Jesus is saying, do not worry about it. Trust me, I am there to take you through this situation. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, you see, notice that word, every situation. It doesn't matter whether you are in a great danger or not. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's what we need to do first and foremost. Then you see what will happen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The first is trust God. The second thing is seeking his kingdom. Look at with me, verses 29 to 32. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You know, our God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows exactly what we need to live on. We are told here, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. So you may be asking, what does it mean, seeking his kingdom? Seeking his kingdom means making Jesus the Lord and King of your life. He must control every part of our life. Is it our main concern, seeking his kingdom? Or setting our hearts on earthly things? That's why he's saying, do not set your heart. That's a challenge going on in our minds. Seek his kingdom, or setting my heart to the earthly thing. But Jesus saying is, your Father knows that you need them. Seek his kingdom. Jesus here not saying that you don't need food or clothes. What he is saying is, get your priorities right. Figure out what is really important. Love God and others. Seek his kingdom. And when we do that, we don't need to be afraid. We will have true happiness. So when we fix our hearts on the earthly things, who other people do that? That's a phrase saying the pagans, they do that. If we are truly believing in God, we won't be behaving like the pagans. They are the people running after, here and there, the sale and this and that. I want to store up. But if we truly seek his kingdom, then we are sure our Father knows what we need. We are all preoccupied with providing our physical body and eating and drinking and clothing. But seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, that gives the encouragement. We don't need to worry about it. When I am saying that, it doesn't mean we need to plan. It doesn't mean we don't need to go to work. It doesn't mean I don't need to provide for my family. But seeking his kingdom, that puts our life's perspective in the right way. And also he's saying that, verse 32, your Father is pleased to give his kingdom. He's happy to give us his kingdom. This is because that is his joy to give it to us. Our God is a giving God. It's not a stingy God. And not withholding anything to giving to us to meet our needs. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, we are told, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? It's a question in Romans. How come God has given his one and only precious son for our salvation, for our eternal life? How will he not also graciously giving us all things? It is certain, if we seek his kingdom first, then we can be sure our Father knows what we need. The third thing, store up your treasure in heaven. You see, Jesus talking about don't worry and about the anxiety. Now he's focusing about the treasure. Look at these verses with me, verses 33 and 34. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves and that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is not saying that it is not wrong to have money in your pocket or wrong to have possessions. What Jesus is saying here, get rid of the abundance and be happy what your needs are being met. When earthly possessions become our pursuit, then we say to ourselves, yes, our lives are to be found in the abundance of our possessions. What the world says, get stuff for me. Keep it something for my future and for my life. What Jesus is saying, give it away. Because it has been given from heaven for your need. You see, there are two people in this world as far as their possession is concerned. The one kind of people, they want to live for possessions because they want to look after it. They want to work hard for it. For what? Because they think they are the end of the life. What will happen? It will lead to worry in this life and ultimately it leads to destruction of the life. The other people, they live for Christ. They want to please what they have been given. Yes, set aside for their living, for their need, and also giving for God's work, giving to the poor. That's why he's saying, sell your possession and give it to poor. Because people are there, needy people are around us. It is not wrong to save money for any saving plan. It is not wrong to think about or plan ahead for your retirement. But our mind says why we are saving for. What I'm going to get out of it. That we know and you know why we are doing it. So when we give to God's work or help the needy, what kind of attitude we have? We should have the proper attitude, our motivation to give because we genuinely love others. That's why we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So how we are giving for God's work? What is inside our heart when we give to the poor and establish, advance the kingdom of God? If I do not have love, I gain nothing. Then you may be asking today, women, that's fine. So how can I store up treasure in heaven? We need to ask Paul what he said to Timothy. Get that advice. So let me read for you. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good work, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see? Lay up treasure for themselves. You see, Paul is telling that young preacher Timothy, command them. Sometime we need to be taught by God's word how we can treasure up, how we can store up our treasure for God's kingdom. Let me ask you, what is your treasure? And where is your treasure? I don't know. You know what is your treasure and where your heart is. The answer that will point, that will examine your heart, whether you are storing up for his kingdom. But Jesus saying here, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Does God's love touch my wallet? The money I have, I can freely give it to the needy. We need to ask ourselves. So today we just looked at, under the heading that the Heavenly Father knows your need, trust God, seek his kingdom, store up your treasure in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as you are saying, do not worry. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, help us to prioritize our lives seeking your kingdom first. Father God, thank you for your blessing and help us to store up the treasure in heaven. Help us to help the needy, Father, with love and genuineness. Father, we want to please you, Father. We want to live a life worthy to you. We want to please everything we do in this world because you are our provider. You know what we need. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.